Sorry, thanks everyone. That's fantastic. What we're going to do now is we're going to move into our interactive talk, then we're going to have announcements, and then we're going to do intercessions, okay? I don't need to big them up any more than you might be bigging them up already in your mind, right? But we've got Amy and we've got Pete. Hooray! Woo!
Hi. So if anyone doesn't know us, I'm Pete and this is my wife, Amy. We've been a part of Antioch for the past few years. I'm a Catholic, Amy's a Protestant, and most Sundays we go to both churches. And today we're going to be speaking on about the Trinity, continuing the series that Antioch has been going through. Last month, Andy spoke to us, introducing the subject of the Trinity. And we're going to be leading a discussion based on Genesis 18. And we'll be discussing the painting known as the Rublev icon, which was inspired by the passage in Genesis 18. We sent the painting out via email this week, James did. Thank you, James. So you can please feel free to get your phones out and to bring the image up. Normally, we would ask you to be putting your phones away, but we're going to make an exception today. So you can get your phones out and pretend to listen to us while checking either your Instagram account or the football scores. I'm normally glued to my Instagram account, and I generally can't get Amy to stop checking the football scores. So yes, we are trusting you to kind of pay attention to what we're going to be saying today. But please do get the image up so you can kind of zoom in and look at the details.
Okay, so we're going to start off by reading this passage in Genesis 18. I'm going to read it out, and as I do, just encourage you to just kind of reflect and think about this passage, think about what stands out to you. You may have read it many times before, you may not have read it all that many times. It's kind of an interesting Bible passage, and you've probably got a lot of thoughts on it. So the reason we're asking you particularly to think about it as I'm reading it out is we're going to have a bit of time afterwards to discuss it together. Just bear that in mind. And I'm going to read now. Feel free to read along. It's on the screen, but you can read along also with your Bible or your phone if you want as well. Okay, so this is Genesis 18. We're going to read verses 1 to 16. And the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah, and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who had prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, No, but you did laugh. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. So we're looking today at the Trinity, and I just want to kind of I guess, build your expectations, because this is a huge topic and we're just not even going to scratch the surface here. But what we do want to do is just use this passage and the Rebleva icon as a starting point to just get us thinking, to get us reflecting, maybe looking at things in a different way, and just see what we can get out of that. So we'd like you to just kind of turn to the person next to you or the people around you and just take a few minutes and chat about what, if anything, stood out to you from that passage. What do you find interesting? What do you notice? And if you're not near anyone, then you might want to sort of shuffle over now and do that.
It's 3 minutes.
Yeah, you keep an eye on the time.
So what do you think about the that you haven't already said before? Right now. It's going to be you again. Should we give a 30-second warning?
No, I can just cut the block.
So that's 1 minute. People are talking.
And you also, when people quiet down, is when you stop. We shouldn't really have the image up yet.
I know. I think Greg moved it.
Greg. Spoilers.
That's halfway. Although we could, you know, depending on the volume level, and see how people are doing.
Yeah, yeah. Some people look like they're finished, but some people are still talking. It depends on the size of the room.
Most people are still talking.
How long has that been?
That's been just two minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah. What do you think?
Okay, guys, I'm going to cut you off there. I'm sorry if you're in the midst of a very deep theological discussion. You can continue that later if you desire. So I would actually now like to hear back from some of you in true sort of youth worker style. So is there just someone from your group? Not everybody has to say something, but would love to hear from a couple of you. So if anyone's feeling kind of bold or like they had something to share from their group, please raise your hand and I'm gonna ask you to just share. Yeah, go for it, Kira. Do you wanna just say from there or do you wanna come to the front? Either way.
I don't know if this is relevant, I hope so. I found it really interesting that Sarah lied and that she was caught lying, you know? Because we all lie sometimes, but sometimes we don't get caught. But the poor woman was caught.
Okay. Anyone else? You can go, speak from where you are or come up here, either way. Any other thoughts from the passage? Yeah? Josh? Go on. Oh. Okay. Yeah, well done, the source.
Yeah, I really liked verse 14. Trying to read it now. Yeah, exactly. Is nothing too hard for the Lord?
I just said to Matthew, it almost makes us reframe our perspective that God is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Again, what we were saying earlier with Katrina, like, we can trust God. So, yeah, that's what I said to Matthew. Okay.
Nathan and then Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, for the recording. Oh, I will. I'll sum up afterwards. Don't worry. Yeah.
Those of you who've read The Shack, for instance, would know how pictorial the Trinity is depicted, and you can think, well, maybe it's coming out of this particular present or demonstration of the three visitors.
Mm. How did they know the three visitors were angels?
That's good stuff. Any final thoughts? Okay, and thanks guys for sharing. So just to kind of refresh, some of the things that stood out to you guys was sort of Sarah and her reaction to what these visitors said, and the fact that she was kind of caught in the act. Just that sense of like, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, that we can trust him with the impossible. And also then the very sort of human reaction that Nathan was talking about of like, oh, it's great to see you, Lord, but then you could say something that's difficult for us to get our heads around. And, you know, yeah, how do we react to that? And then just some kind of interesting things that we pick out, you know, what are these three figures? What do they represent? This kind of use of angels. Are they angels? How do they know? What are they? And then, yeah, what Angie mentioned at the end, that they refer to my Lord and that there are three men. So, yeah, thanks, guys, for what you shared. We're just going to share some of our thoughts now.
Yeah, so I'm just going to quickly share some of the things that Amy and I, in reflecting on the passage, were struck by. So the passage has a number of different interpretations, and there's not one kind of obviously correct one, but here are a few things that we find interesting. So the passage is foretelling the birth of Isaac, which is fulfilling God's promise to Abraham about descendants, and will lay the path for first the people of Israel and then Jesus. It's interesting not without significance that there's kind of the hint of God's Trinitarian nature to Abraham and Sarah at this time. It's an important revelation at a significant moment in salvation history. As Kerry was saying, we were quite struck by Sarah's reaction. Her disbelief at God's promise of a son can mirror our own doubts and struggles, even with just the concept of the Trinity, that can be a hard kind of concept to reckon with. Sarah doesn't initially understand God and his plan for her, and kind of laughs at the idea of having a child. But when God reveals kind of his knowledge and his presence to her, she becomes very afraid. And that's something, that we can recognize. We can often be kind of afraid of God working in our life, of kind of shaking us up, even when it might be something that we've actually have a deep desire for. And when Sarah does give birth to a child, she names him Isaac, which means he will laugh. It's a kind of an interesting journey that Sarah goes on with kind of God reveal, from kind of denial to fear to joy. There are, as we're talking about, angels. There are other times in the Old Testament and in Genesis when angels appear to people, when God kind of speaks through them. But this is specific to the Lord, as Angie was saying. It's kind of a very kind of, it's the Hebrew word the kind of for God's name, which is quite significant. When angels or messengers appear at other points to Abraham, to Lot, to Hagar, they're kind of specifically referred to as angels, but not so at this time. And it is, as was mentioned, it's clear that Abraham seems to recognize something is different about these figures. He immediately offers them the best hospitality. He offers to serve them all the same portion of food. He doesn't mark any of them out for significant, preference or honor. He kind of treats them all equally. Abraham bows down before them, and Sarah is kind of struck to the core by their kind of knowledge of her own thoughts. It's clear that there's kind of a quality and a power to these figures that is clear to Abraham and to Sarah. So that's the passage. We're going to move on to talking. Can you move that on, Greg? Cheers. We're going to move on to talking about this painting. It's helpful to kind of get the backgrounds to it, because that was the passage this painting is based on. There's a long tradition of Christian art being very helpful for kind of inspiring prayer and in meditation. Human beings are visual. We have visual senses. And Christian art throughout the centuries has really helped people to kind of think about scripture in a different way, to really deepen our meditation, to really kind of provide a different angle and aspect on scripture and on our faith. So we're going to kind of be discussing this painting and trying to see what we can learn specifically about the Trinity through it. So this is a photo of the Rublev icon. We were going to have the original brought in and kind of displayed to you, but diplomatic relations with Russia are a little bit complicated at the moment, so we're going to have to make do with this copy. Many of you may have seen it before or be familiar with it, but I'm just going to give a quick introduction. So it was written and composed by Andrei Rublev in the 15th century. It was inspired by Genesis 18, which we just read, which passage is also called the Hospitality of Abraham. It's an icon for Orthodox Christians. Icons are a special way of using art to help encourage and focus prayer. There are several different versions of the icon. It's been kind of copied and restored in various points, but this is kind of the most famous one, and it's the one we're kind of going to be using as our basis for the discussion today. So again, we're going to give you some time kind of amongst yourselves to kind of talk about it and discuss it. Get up your phones, kind of zoom in on some of the details if you want. So yeah, please do, you know, take, you know, the next few minutes to kind of chat again amongst yourselves. What strikes you about the icon just in general? Is there anything about the Trinity that you find interesting about it related to the passage? So, you know, please do kind of chat again and get back into your groups and discuss. Done with this one, right?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm going to go for 3 minutes most, but we'll probably do what we did before. People got some feedback. That was good. That was good. They didn't say, I mean, some people came, gave the kind of basic things that we kind of had longer points on. It was good.
Thanks, everybody. It's the same thing again. Would love to hear some of your thoughts on this. Anything that struck you, anything you found interesting. Is anyone want to share either from where you're sitting or come up to the mic from what your little group was talking about? Yeah, Bob? Yeah, Michael.
We have a nice thing that sort of we're used to the Holy Spirit being a dove or a flame or something like that. But in this picture they're all people who look pretty similar. There's little details that are different between them, but they're all just sort of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Claire. Ian? Anything else to say on that? Okay. Anyone else? Oh, should we move on? Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Emzo. Bob.
I guess in honor of the ambiguity, they all have wings.
Yeah. Okay, just to kind of sum up some of those thoughts and the things that stood out to us visually, we've got the colour, in particular the colour blue, kind of standing out against the sort of browns, and the fact that they're all wearing the colour blue, although one of them is a bit covered. The fact that the one on the middle is looking towards the one on the left, and that idea of submission. There was also some talk about the fact that the Holy Spirit is portrayed as a person, which we're maybe not so used to thinking about. The position of hands, the fact that they're holding staves, they've got wings, and the cup, and Val's kind of point about the way that it looks like a chalice within a chalice, very interesting. And also, I think somebody mentioned, I think it was Claire mentioned about it being like an open circle, that sort of inviting us in. And apparently it's also disturbing the perspective. Take what you will from that. Me and Pete are by no means experts. You know, a lot of the things that we sort of looked at and researched and kind of noticed about it is some of the things that have come up for you as well. And there's probably lots more that you could say. You can go really in detail with this, looking at all of the little details. But we're not going to do all of that. You know, we are just kind of bringing to you some of our reflections and trying to draw out some of yours, which has been really helpful as well. So, yeah, I'm probably going to repeat some of the things that you guys said. But a couple of key things that stood out to us. There's kind of lots of things going on in the picture, as I think Val mentioned at the end of what she was saying, as well as these three people. Hang on, I might just... as well as these three people. Apparently, I can use the laser, so let's try that. Ta-da. Okay, so there's a tree in the background, and there's also, you can just make out like a house, and that's just behind them. And this is the kind of... You feel like sort of everything is significant here, nothing's by accident. And the tree, obviously, that could be like a symbol for... Where's the tree gone? There it is. The tree of life. The wood of the cross, this house, it said that this could be just a symbol of hospitality because the passage is called the hospitality of Abraham. It could be a reference to the verse in John that says, in my father's house are many rooms. And then one of the key things really that stood out to us, which has really come out from what you guys have said, is the fact that there are three people here and there's a lot that's similar about them. They're all, as Bob was saying, they're wearing blue, although one of them is a bit more covered, but they're all wearing this very striking blue. Their faces are kind of similar. Their expressions are kind of similar. They've got these kind of halos, the wings. They're all sitting on these kind of thrones. And there's, as Claire kind of mentioned, scholars have sort of interpreted it being the one on the left being the Father, the one in the middle being Jesus, and the one on the right being the Holy Spirit. And we can see, as Claire sort of mentioned earlier, that it's quite significant, you know, the way that they're sort of the ones on the middle and the right, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are kind of leaning and looking towards the Father. And the Father is kind of at the center of it, even though it's not sitting in the middle. But the direction and their attention to each other and just their relationship with each other, their community with each other, you know, that's significant for us. And it's significant when we think about the Trinity, not just as three people, but as one, but also as three. And it just reminded us from the quote from, I think Andy mentioned this in his talk about the Trinity, but it's helpful to think about when we just look at the sort of order between them, of the quote from the Catholic Catechism about it's the Father who generates, the Son who is begotten, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds. And then finally, Claire, you sort of stole my main point, but it's fine because that's the whole point of this discussion. But yeah, I think I really like the fact that although they're in a circle, it is open. And it's this whole thing of hospitality and offering space for someone else and offering space for us who are looking at this painting. And, you know, we know that it's based on this passage where Abraham offers them hospitality and offers them to sit and eat and gives them the best. But there's an invitation to us who are looking at this. It's not a closed circle. It's welcoming us in. And it's an invitation to us to come and sit with the Lord, to come and learn. To sort of really delve into what the Trinity is to us. We're kind of coming to an end here. Pete's got a few more thoughts to share at the end, but we're not kind of offering any sort of, this is really just to get you guys thinking. It's like the beginning of some reflections, some thoughts, maybe some different perspectives on how we think about, how we imagine the Trinity, all persons of the Trinity, how they relate to each other, how they relate to us. And yeah, we hope that it's been sort of thought-provoking for you too.
Thanks. Great. So I'm just going to give a quick kind of summary and make a couple points and then end with a quick prayer. So what can we take home from this reflection? How can the Trinity kind of impact us on our day-to-day lives? I'm going to make two points. God in the Trinity, as we've been saying, God in the Trinity is by nature a community, and he invites us into community with him. The relationships within the Trinity, of the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit, they should be an example for us of community life and the love that they have and show within us, shown in this icon, but also, shown in Scripture. The other point I want to make is that throughout salvation history, God reveals himself more and more to his people, and he reveals himself to be Trinitarian in nature. The passage that we read in Genesis 18 hints through, the three persons of God being the Trinity. And as, as Jesus comes to his people and as the Holy Spirit is sent at Pentecost, we get to see, as we come to know God more throughout the Bible, we get to know him as Trinitarian. And as God moves through his plan for salvation, we learn to know him as Trinitarian. And we should seek, as we want to move closer to God, to understand him better through his Trinitarian nature. We should seek to know him and relate to him as the Trinity, especially during this time of Easter, looking forward to Pentecost, as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection and we look forward to celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. We should look to reflect more and learn more about the Trinity. So we would encourage you to engage with this truth in a way that works for you. Just going to take a quick moment to, in your own space, in your own time, to write down on your phones, on a notebook, or just make a note in your head of a way that you can engage with God in the Trinity in a way in the coming weeks. That may be in prayer life, through songs or hymns, through the books that you read. So just going to take a quick moment in silence and now closes in a prayer. Lord, help us to know you more, to love you as the Father, to know you as Jesus who died and rose for our salvation, and to live in the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk with God. Amen.